Hello, my name is Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com. This video is called Consequences of a Spring and Loop Theory, Black Holes, a continuation of the Consequences series. Black holes are the stuff of legend. They're one of the most fascinating concepts in modern physics. Wikipedia is always a good place to start. Their black holes page starts right off with a definition of what a black hole is. It says a black hole is a region of space-time from which gravity prevents anything, including light, from escaping, and follows that up with the next sentence saying, the theory of general relativity predicts that a sufficiently compact mass will deform space-time to form a black hole. So once again, we have to tip our hat to Albert Einstein, who seemed to think of everything really cool. But then Wikipedia gives a history of black holes, starting with, the idea of a body so massive that even light could not escape was first put forward by John Michell in a letter written to Henry Cavendish of the Royal Society in 1783. If the semi-diameter of a sphere of the same density as the Sun were to exceed that of the Sun in the proportion of 500 to 1, a body falling from an infinite height towards it would have acquired at its surface greater velocity than that of light, and consequently, supposing light to be attracted by the same force in proportion to its vis inertiae with other bodies, all light emitted from such a body would be made to return towards it by its own proper gravity. John Michell, 1783. In future Consequences of a Spring and Loop Theory talks, there will be other revelations about Einstein's greatest formula. For now, let's use John Michell's quote as smelling salts, a tonic that snaps us awake and opens up our thinking to new conceptions of physics. One shocker is that Einstein's equations of general relativity break down at a black hole's Schwarzschild radius, with, quote, some of the terms in the Einstein equations becoming infinite, quote, as Wikipedia puts it. Modern physics is like this. A theory is developed, and physicists talk about and build off of it relentlessly, warts and all. The marriages of Elizabeth Taylor come to mind. We are told of each new husband, then try to reconcile each with the actress herself. Ultimately, the new husband becomes an ex-husband, as a new mate is found. But the ex-husbands never go away, and sometimes come back again to serve as Elizabeth's one and only true love. So, despite the failings of general relativity, Einstein continues to receive top billing from most physicists. He also rants. In a less Einstein-biased world, we would know of those who followed up Einstein's release of general relativity over the past 100 years. Karl Schwarzschild, Johannes Drost, Arthur Eddington, Georges Lemaître, Subrahmanyan Chandrasekhar, Lev Landau, Robert Oppenheimer, David Finkelstein, and several dozen others are cited on Wikipedia's black hole page. But what of it? Has there been any real progress since Michell? A black hole is black. Quoting again, all light emitted from such a body would be made to return towards it by its own proper gravity. So a black hole is black, but why? The standard answer is that light must traverse space-time. Space-time can be bent by gravity. And when you have enough gravity, then light itself can't escape, because space-time curves the light back on itself. This is workable, until someone asks, yes, but why? In the last paper, Spring and Loop Theory talked specifically about how our understanding of the speed of light can be enhanced by considering the consequences of Spring and Loop Theory. In that paper, Spring and Loop Theory even made the prediction that the speed of light is slowing down with time. In this paper, we bring the speed of light to a complete halt. Spring and Loop Theory's take on light. Spring and Loop Theory says that everything in the universe, space, matter, dust, etc., is composed of springs, ultra-intense bundles of energy. To differentiate this from the conventional concept of space, that doesn't really exist, it turns out, Spring and Loop Theory coins the term universal matrix. Spring-to-spring bumping causes light. If you have a table full of super balls and you hit one of them, it will hit its neighbor, and so on, with the result being a propagation of your initial hit through the system. In solid objects, this propagation happens at the speed of sound. In the universal matrix of springs, this propagation happens at the speed of light. Who turned out the springs? Matter, stuff as we know it, is made of loops of energy. Think of it as a solid or liquid as opposed to the gas of the spring matrix itself. Springs, filling every space in the universe, interact and become entangled with matter. The more matter, the more entanglement. Just as a clock stops turning when the clock spring runs out of energy, at a sufficient density of matter, springs stop being springs. If children are loops and their mother is a spring, then when there are too many children, the mother stops being a mother. Communication breaks down, it becomes a bad day for the old woman who lived in a shoe. This is what happens in a black hole. Another magic trick revealed. The entertainment business depends on the innate human desire to be entertained. This is most profitably exploited when you promise something for nothing and a bit of mystery, a concept I discussed in Thinking Your Own Thoughts. The problem with learning is that it removes the mystery. No wonder the education system has been under attack for decades. Where is the profit in knowledge? With black holes, removing the mystery leaves simply a dense enough collection of matter loops that spring-spring propagation breaks down. If the universal matrix is an interstate highway, a black hole is a bottomless bog. No matter how fast you drive into the bog, you can't drive out. Well, not quite. See the end of this paper for a third analogy. Sorry, Albert. Consequences of a spring loop theory, black holes, doesn't bother to mention that space is bent to an extreme in a black hole. This property was already covered in the original spring and loop theory paper. It is noteworthy, however, that conventional physics, i.e. general relativity, says that only the curving of space-time causes a black hole to be black. There is no mention of light stopping, and instead some have theorized that it takes an infinite amount of time for stuff entering a black hole to actually get to the heart of the black hole. So the largest electromagnet in the intergalactic scrapyard takes an infinite amount of time to attract metal to itself? This is counterintuitive in the extreme. New business. Spring and loop theory observes there are two ways that light doesn't leave a black hole, that, while related, they are informatively different. Number one, mass, i.e. loops, bend space, i.e. springs, in the same way that clamping part of a fishnet affects the rest of the net, tugging everything closer to the clamped area. Some light rays within the event horizon of a black hole will be bent back toward the black hole by this effect. Number two, in a black hole specifically, there is a limiting case where there are so many loops, children to be cared for, that the spring mums are unable to fulfill their parental role of light propagation. The pretty substantial consequence of this is that when springs stop springing, information is lost. Parting of the ways. Modern physics is far too sure of itself. A field that prides itself in its non-faith-based approach has used such blind faith in assuming that the speed of light is constant that they have even defined it as a constant. Covered more completely in a previous paper, this is one of the fundamental ways that spring and loop theory disagrees with current theory. Similarly, current theories of entropy maintain that a black hole is an information library of Congress, archiving all information that enters the event horizon and losing none of it. To prop up their theory and yet try to resolve the black hole paradox, they have come up with the notion that all information entering a black hole is maintained on the two-dimensional surface of the black hole's event horizon. When you don't repair your theories as you go along, you end up with such nonsense. It is easy to see how this leads to talk of wormholes, warp drives, and 10 to the 500 possible universes. Propagators, on the other hand, must have required an act of Congress. We built this city on. Common practice in engineering is to worry about edge effects. Your bridge is probably oblivious to an air pocket somewhere in the center of pillar number 13, but the edges of all pillars should be carefully designed and protected. One of the edge cases in our universe is a black hole. It is where things go to die in the ultimate sense of that word, to be recycled at best or melted into something new. See the conclusion for more. The point is that weak theories break down at the edges. Strong theories simply point out the edge case and move on. Spring and loop theory sees no reason why things can't break down and be lost forever in a black hole. Less filling tastes great. Spring and loop theory is simpler in conception than other physics theories. It can be difficult to appreciate this. It is a natural consequence of spring and loop theory that black holes do not allow photons of light to escape. There is no need for calculations. Mind you, if such calculations are performed, useful things can be gained from them. Testability versus modelability. Scientists insist on testability. Some even say that without it, there would be no science. Spring and loop theory can think of no reason to insist on testability, but it has testable components. When it comes to black holes, however, it is something of an understatement that they challenge testability. Black holes are not visible in ordinary light, are ultra-dim in infrared light, and usually only reveal their presence by their effect on other things. Black holes are too far away to visit, and yet, should we be able to visit them, we could not return our test results to Earth. Spring and loop theory can still gain from what little is known about black holes. The minimum mass to create a black hole, and hence the minimum black hole radius, tells spring and loop theory something about the minimum density of loops needed to stop the universal matrix of springs from propagating. The spring density is already known. It was defined by the great Max Planck, without him fully realizing what he had stumbled upon when he connected the wavelength and frequency by the speed of light. A black hole's minimum loop density, combined with the relatively unchanging spring density, give or take a little bit of, quote, dark energy, quote, expansion, leads to a relative density calculation. This shifts us toward the chemistry end of the science spectrum. 400 years equals a pretty robust theory. Chemistry is a simple model. Atoms need only be made up of three things. Interactions are determined by the attraction and repulsion of plus and minus charges. Atoms share electrons with other atoms. And that is about it. Yet chemistry is alive and well. One rarely hears of major controversies in the chemistry community. There are no major theoretical rivals. Chemistry doesn't yield infinite probabilities or require more than three space plus one time dimensions. Chemistry just works. Be like Mike. Spring and loop theory says we need to do something similar with physics. We need a set of simple properties of springs, loops, and the interaction of the two. Such a system could be applied everywhere. Simple yet robust theories benefit from mystery. Black holes, rather than being mysterious, offer up to spring and loop theory information about how things work at the most fundamental level. Small, i.e. low complexity, is indeed beautiful. Parting shots. By the way, conventional physics likes to refer to black holes as infinitely small, and physicists often refer to black holes as a singularity. Quite simply, this defies logic. The most massive thing in the galaxy is the smallest? It is safe to say that black holes are thought of this way because current theories force this to be the case. But then, everyone admits that general relativity breaks down the black hole. Kind of makes you wonder why it is used at all. Spring and loop theory sees no reason for a black hole to be infinitely small. Period. Where to from here? Spring and loop theory simplifies black holes to such an extent that it is hard to know what else about them should be studied. One subject worthy of future consideration is whether a black hole is ultimately the most stable object in the universe or the most explosive. Filmmakers, put your blinding explosion here. Our sun generates heat by fusing elements together. This only occurs because of the extreme temperature and pressure in the sun. Though the sun is composed mainly of hydrogen, which is the least dense element, the average density of the sun is 10 times that of lead, one of the most dense elements. A sufficiently dense black hole could conceivably ignite an even bigger furnace, something on the scale of a Big Bang, perhaps. So far, our measurements of existing black hole sizes tells us it must be bigger than this because this hasn't blown up. But this is evolutionary, not revolutionary work. New ideas will need to be conceived and tested to determine the ultimate fate of black holes. Such ideas will have to have the firmest of foundations. Spring and loop theory thinks it knows a good source of concrete. Next time on COSALT. In the next paper, spring and loop theory takes on the Everest of physics mountains, E equals MC squared, the mother goddess of all scientific formulas. Finally, so what analogy works for a black hole? Black holes are more like our world today. Everything appears normal until we try to become spiritual. We can eat, live, and breathe with little effort. Growing up from childhood to adult is routine, times 7 billion. As we rack up 4.0s and accolades, enjoy barbecues and ballroom dancing, we get a sense of the world being our oyster, that life doesn't get any better than this. Yet, when we think we are practicing free will, we usually are not. This harsh reality is made most visible when we try to break a bad habit. It can be done, but the effort involved approaches that required to leave a black hole in our rearview mirror. Our higher self is literally our spring energy. Our lower nature is fueled by possessiveness and possessions. Things, matter, loops. Too many possessions, too many loops, and our light stops propagating. Breathe. Relax. Exhale. Welcome back.